There is just so much sadness in the world right now. I can see it. I can hear it. I can feel it everywhere. So much sadness. So much discouragement. So much cynicism. So much unhappiness. Children who can't go to school. Teachers who are struggling to effectively teach. Restaurants who can't seat customers. Youth who can't participate in sports. Friends and neighbors who can't get together for dinner. Thanksgiving holiday without extended family. Nursing home residents who can't be visited. Church services limited to small groups and lots of live streams. I think the world's, and of course all of that is piled on top of all the concern and the uncertainty of contracting and potentially spreading a virus that has just wrapped itself around our world. So I think the world's baseline anxiety level has been ratcheted up about 3 notches over these last 9 months, and it's just kind of grinding away at all of us. And this is, of course, especially true for those who are already struggling with anxiety in the before time. But despite all of this, I still want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And I think I can. Not because all of those things or any of those things that I just mentioned aren't true, but because even though all those things are true, we still have good reason to be thankful. And I was reminded of this last week by a psalm that I read. And I want to share it with you this morning. Now, we've been in a sermon series from the book of Colossians, but we're not going to continue that today. In fact, we're not going to return to Colossians until we get into the new year. After Thanksgiving will be Advent. Today, we're going to look at a psalm, which is scripture, yes, and Hebrew poetry and prayer that's intended to show us how to speak to God as His people living in a beautiful but fundamentally broken world. So I want to invite you to open up your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Now, we don't know for sure who wrote this psalm. The superscript that's there, that's that little writing underneath the title, it doesn't really give us any clues. However, because of the content of this psalm, some think that it might have been King Hezekiah, one of the southern kingdom's better kings. But whoever this human author was, what matters most is what this psalm reminds us. And that is that we still have reason to be thankful. But also what it calls us to do. And that is to be thankful and to praise God. So let's look at this psalm. As we begin, I want to point out to you that the psalmist here, he begins very, very broadly. In fact, he begins by addressing the whole world, reminding everyone everywhere about the goodness of God, and he calls on everyone to praise God for that goodness. Look at verse 1. Here's what he writes. He writes, "Shout for joy, all the earth. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing the praises of Your name." And so the psalmist here begins by calling on all people everywhere to praise God. And he tells them to shout for joy, to sing the glory of God's name. He encourages them to declare the awesomeness of God's deeds and the greatness of His power. And then he goes on to describe how that greatness and power leads even God's enemies to cringe and the whole world to bow before him. But you might be thinking, I don't think that's how it actually works. See, I know lots of people who don't bow before God. I know lots of people who seem like the enemies of God and clearly have no fear of him at all. And about that, you are, of course, right. What's interesting is that what the NIV translates in the present tense, your enemies cringe, the earth bows, they sing praise, can actually be translated correctly in the future tense. So what this also says is, God, your enemies will cringe. All the earth will bow. They will sing your praise. See, what may still be untrue today will not always be so in the future. When Jesus returns to finally and forever fix all that is broken, the enemies of God will cringe, and all the earth will bow down before him, and everyone will sing the praises of his name. Whatever the state of our world today, we still have reason to thank and to praise God. He is the Creator, mighty in power, awesome indeed. And one day, the whole world is going to recognize that. Reminding ourselves today of what we know that God has promised to do in the future can help us to be thankful here and now. Well, the psalmist, he continues, but now he speaks of the mighty deeds that God has done on behalf of his specially chosen people. Look at verse 5. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. You know what the psalmist is talking about here? He's talking about the Exodus. He's describing God's great miraculous rescue of his people from their slavery in Egypt. Remember, when the Israelites left Egypt, God turned the sea into dry land so that they could escape through the Red Sea. And when they finally reached the Jordan, God stopped the flow of the river so that they could pass through the waters, or actually more literally, they could pass through the river on foot, and then enter the land, the special promised land that God had prepared for them. And so the psalmist here is calling on all people to come and see and to remember what God has done on behalf of his people in the past. What the psalmist does here is good for us to do as well, especially when we are struggling to be thankful. When the present seems bleak and needed change seems very slow in coming, when despair threatens to drag you down, we can remind ourselves and each other of God's great faithfulness in the past. When the present seems unbearable and the future doesn't feel terribly hopeful, we can still look to the past. Now, not in the sense of nostalgia and not in the hope of returning to the way that things used to be, but in order to remind us of all the ways that God has been persistently faithful and unbelievably good to us in the past. A faithfulness and a goodness that is still true of God today, even if in this moment we are not feeling it right now. See, I can be thankful today when I remember God's faithfulness and goodness to us in the past. Well, the psalmist continues, and he builds on this theme in the next part of the psalm, but there is a little bit of a shift here. To this point, the psalmist has been speaking to everyone, to all people everywhere on the earth, but now he narrows his focus so as to speak directly to God's people. In fact, we can see this change as the psalmist begins to use more personal plural pronouns. He has preserved our lives. He has brought us to a place of abundance. Look at verse 8. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praises be heard. He has preserved our lives. He has kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. It certainly sounds like the psalmist here has a particular historical event in mind in what he is speaking about. A time of danger and a time of risk, a time when God's people were being tested, a time when God was refining them like silver, a time when they were in some sort of confinement, some sort of prison, and they were weighed down with heavy burdens. They went through fire and water, whether literally or metaphorically, but God brought them through to a place of abundance. Notice how the psalmist describes these hardships as acts of God. These hardships were tests, discipline, refining events in the lives of God's people. They were hard, but God was good to them. And he used them to bring about great good, and God brought them through to a good place in the end. Now, what is the event in question here that the psalmist is talking about? Truthfully, we cannot know for sure. It's actually these verses that lead some to think that King Hezekiah, or someone like him, was the one who wrote this psalm. See, Hezekiah, he was one of Jerusalem's better kings. And during his reign, he faced an Assyrian army that was laying siege to Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah cried out to God. And when Isaiah, the prophet, who was a contemporary of Hezekiah, told Hezekiah that God would rescue them, Hezekiah believed. And in a single night, God wiped out the Assyrian army, possibly through a plague. But you can read about these events in 2 Kings 18 and 19, as well as in Isaiah 37 and 38. Now, whether those are the right specific events that are being described here or not, the psalmist's point is still this. God intervenes on behalf of his people. See, God isn't just involved with the nations of the world. He also gives special priority to those who are his people. And the Bible, as well as human history, is full of examples of this. And God is so big and so good that he can use even the hardest of situations to shape us into a people who are more and more like Jesus. And he can, and he does, bring good out of even difficult time and terrible tragedies. Do you, like me, need a reason to be thankful today? If you're one of God's specially chosen people, meaning if you're a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian in the biblical sense, then that means that you're part of the church. And that gives you reason to be thankful. See, it means that you are part of a special community that God has created and watches over always. A community that he blesses and that he's always present with. God is with the church, yes, obviously in times of blessing, but he's also with us in times of hardship. And at times he does test and he refines the church, but it's for our good. And in the end, he will bring the church through to a place of abundance. And even if it turns out to be imperfectly here, then he will do so with great extravagance and blessing in the new heaven and the new earth. Reminding ourselves that God can and does bring good for his people, even out of tragedy and struggle, gives us reason to be thankful. Well, this next and final part of the psalm gets even more personal. Personal plural pronouns give way to singular pronouns. We becomes me, us becomes I. After describing his commitment to keeping the vows that he has made to God, the psalmist praises God for his love and for hearing his prayers. Look at verse 13. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Now, the size and the clear expense of the sacrifices mentioned here further suggest that this psalm was written by King Hezekiah or someone like him. As king, he would have had the financial means to be able to make such extravagant sacrifices. And as king, he would be the stand-in for his people, both in making and keeping these vows to God after God had rescued them from their enemies. And as we read here, he takes joy in keeping these vows because time and circumstances shown him again and again that God hears the prayers of his people. And he responds to them out of his love and faithfulness and goodness. As you leave here this morning, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and mean it. And I think I can. Even though the pandemic still rages, and the social and political turmoil, it still is churning all around us. And I don't need to look very far at all to be reminded of all the sadness. But see, I don't have to focus on just all the brokenness and all the loss. Because we also have a whole lot to be thankful for. Our God is awesome and mighty indeed. And he has been persistently faithful to us in the past. And he hears our prayers today. And he's promised that one day all of this is going to be finally and forever fixed. And so I can help you out, and you can help me out by reminding each other of these truths, just like the psalmist did in this psalm. And so I want us to end our service today by doing exactly that. I want us to speak the precious truths of God's grace to each other. I want us to do it out loud. I want us to do it here in person. And I'd love live stream if you would participate too. I want to know what you are thankful for and what you can remind me to be thankful for. And so if you're in the live stream and you figured out how to do chat, what are you thankful for? What has God done for you in the past? And I'm saying this to you guys as well. I'll give you a second to respond. What has God done in the past? What is God doing right now? And what do you know he will do in the future? Okay, I'll get us started, but this only works if you participate as well, okay? But let me start. Here's what I'm thankful for. I am thankful that all of you showed up today, whether in person or on the live stream. I'm thankful for a worship team that we have that is willing to prepare and practice and lead us in music each week, even though they have to do it with masks on. I'm thankful for a wife who is far better than I deserve, and for kids who are way cooler than I am. I'm thankful for news of better COVID treatments and promising news of a coming vaccine. I'm thankful that I get to be part of this church. I mean, I kind of feel bad for all the other pastors that I know because I ended up with the best one. And I mean that. I'm thankful for the sense of camaraderie and teamwork that exists across all the different leadership teams within this church. It is so good to work with groups like that. I'm thankful for the timing of Jason and Sarah living with us during the lockdown. That was so good for our family. What are you thankful for? So Suzanne's going to say them, because I think it's off live stream, and then I will repeat them so everybody else can hear it. Susan is thankful for her three healthy children. Trey is thankful for grandparents. Abel is thankful for a warm and cozy house.
Greg, for the hopeful future that we have.
Greg, you said? Greg is for the, say that again.
Hopeful.
I wanted to say warm and hopeful, but that wasn't right. Greg is very thankful for the hopeful future that we have, yes.
Sam, for church family, pastor, health, and home.
Sam, for church family, health, pastor, and home. Nada or Nadine? Nada? Say it again, please.
Nada is thankful for a roof that doesn't leak and family that are healthy.
Thankful for a roof that doesn't leak and a family that's healthy. Yep.
And Sarah, for the beauty of God's creation and all the different seasons.
Sarah, for the beauty of creation and all the different seasons. Even if the season right now just seems to be fog. That was my ad. That wasn't Sarah. Yeah, but Sarah, you're absolutely right. What are you thankful for? Tell us, Sarah.
I'm thankful that my household includes all of my best friends, because I think it'd be a lot harder.
Sarah's, say that again.
I'm thankful that during all the COVID and the lockdowns and everything, that my household is all of my best friends.
Gotcha. Sarah's thankful that during the lockdown, her house was full of people who were all her best friends. Is that close enough? Okay, sorry. Stacy. Stacy is thankful for a grandchild who was just born and that mom and baby are both doing well. Awesome. Congratulations, too. What else are you thankful for?
Good health.
Thankful for good health. That's right, Dorothy.
Two things. Of all the worship teams I've been with, I'm grateful for this one because there's no ego.
Dan is thankful for the amazing way that this worship team works together.
Then the second one, I'm thankful that even though we lost our pickup and trailer and a bunch of stuff in the Detroit fire, that we survived changing the tire in a firestorm and getting out of there safe.
Dan is thankful that despite what they lost in the fire, that they made it out safely. And we are super thankful for that as well. Yeah. Melvin? Melvin is thankful for strength and health and the love of this church family. Kathy? Kathy's thankful for me. Thank you, Kathy. I'm thankful for you as well. Emily? Emily is thankful for teachers who've been working really hard. I think all of them are working harder than ever doing it through Zoom. Yeah. Allie's thankful for our pets. Sarah's also thankful for her pets. Yep. Judy?
I'm thankful for the people, how many times I've tried, and for all of the people that have helped me out.
Judy is thankful for all the people who helped her out when she didn't have transportation, and thankful for the new car that she's now found. Definitely. Anyone else? Grant? Okay. Good. Let me see if I can summarize that for everybody. Big things to be thankful for. So Grant is thankful that that in the fall that he took, that he wasn't more injured than he was. So that definitely thing to be thankful for. And then just for the help that a counselor has been able to help, who's working with him to help him mellow out some, right? Yeah? No. Definitely things to be thankful for the people that God puts in our lives to help us when we need help. Suzanne? Nadine is thankful for how the community has stepped up donations to the food bank. Mary is thankful for how the Lord holds our hands in both good times and in tough times.
And for the church, and for her husband,
and for the church, and for her husband, and for a lovely home. Was that the last one? Great. Yeah, things to be thankful for. Jason.
I am thankful for a warm and cozy shop. And I'm thankful.
Between us all.
Yes.
Very much. So Jason's thankful for the home that that he and Sarah have, and just that our time together went well, and we still like each other after living together all those months. Yeah, definitely. Definitely something to be thankful for, and definitely true as well. Suzanne? Debbie is thankful for safety, provision, all the volunteers at the food bank this past year, and I think I missed one.
And all the donors.
Oh, the donors, yes, for the food bank. Yeah, in fact, let me just say something about that, and then I'll go to you, Paula. This last week was the food bank, or the food pantry, Thanksgiving boxes, and I was thankful for the unbelievable job that our food pantry team did leading up to and including the distribution. Because let me tell you, when it started and most of the people were here, it was pouring rain, and they had about 30% more people show up than they had anticipated. And they fed and served everyone. I mean, they were just amazing. I'm so thankful for that. Paul is thankful that God always gives us what we need in order to do the things that he calls us to do. And sometimes it seems like it's not until the last moment, but he's still faithful even then. Was that an okay summary? Okay. Anyone else? Ed?
A little over a year ago, we were remodeling our house, not knowing what God was going to allow us to do because of that.
Yeah.
And as I think back to that, that was such a huge blessing. God in his foreknowledge just does. It's amazing what he does. I'm also thankful for his word.
Let me summarize that one before you do the next one. Ed is thankful for how God has used their home in this last year after a year ago they were getting it remodeled, not anticipating at all in what God would do through that, the opportunities that that word remodel would provide them. Was that close enough?
That's good. Okay. That's good. I'm also thankful that I live in a country where I have the privilege of not only carrying God's word, but gathering to worship God in community.
Ed is also thankful that we live in a country where he can freely carry around a Bible, God's word, as well as freely gather to worship God together. Is that? Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Then I'm thankful I have a job that I can work at and I'm gainfully earning wages.
Ed is thankful for a job, yeah. He can use to support his family. Anybody else? Make sure everybody who wants to has a chance. We're facing some tough things. I don't need to tell you that, obviously. And there are things about this coming week, this holiday week, that are going to remind us of those tough things that we're facing. But there is still so much, as I hope you've been reminded of this morning, there is still so much that we have to be thankful for. And to some extent, we have a choice as to which it is that we are going to focus on. Yes, there are losses. They need to be grieved. But we can also choose at the same time to recognize the blessings, the opportunities, the things that we still have to be thankful for. And when we do that, it not only nourishes and encourages our own hearts, but it does the same for other people who are around us. And so as we enter into this Thanksgiving week, let's commit to being a people who don't just love Jesus, but that we're also a people who are just overflowing with thankfulness. I'm going to invite you to stand as I'm going to pray and then read the benediction. Father, we sing the glory of your name. How awesome are your deeds, how great is your power. Jesus, eternal Son, thank you for being our true rescuer King. We thank you for enduring so much in order to love and to rescue us. And we thank you for modeling for us how to follow God and how to be truly human. Holy Spirit, comfort our hearts, renew our minds, Give us eyes to see beyond all the brokenness and the struggle around us so that we can also see the blessing and grace that you are continually pouring out to us and on us. Empower us to be a thankful people and a people who are able to help others feel thankful and to be thankful as well. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace and a thankful heart. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And yes, I do mean that.